I invite you to the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. This is our epistle lesson for today, as you turn to it, 1 Peter 2. Marlo read our gospel lesson, which is John 14, Jesus' monologue to the disciples. I hope they listened and heard it. Someone heard it, or it wouldn't have been written down, but I hope that you can hear these words again and again. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me, says the Lord. Those are rich words and all the reasons why. And Jesus promised, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a rich and wonderful text, and I may refer to it some, but I want to preach on the 1 Peter text today, the epistle lesson from 1 Peter 2, beginning with 2nd verse. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now you are coming to Him as to a living stone. Even though this stone was rejected by humans, from God's perspective, it is chosen. And valuable, cherished even. You yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. You are being made into a holy priesthood to offer up special sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Thus it is written in Scripture, Look, I am laying a cornerstone in Zion, chosen and valuable. The person who believes in Him will never be ashamed. So God honors you who believe. For those who refuse to believe, though the stone that the builders rejected or tossed aside has become the corner. Stone. This is a stone that makes people stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Because they refuse to believe in the word, they stumble. Indeed, this is the end to which they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak out of the wonderful acts of the one who has called you out of darkness and into His amazing light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I am confident that some of you were here 3 years ago today in this period of the lectionary. And I preached from the same text, and I filled the Lord's table with Duplos. And I built things, I'd already pre-built some of it, but built them into corners. You know, if you take a wall of bricks or of Duplos or blocks or anything else, that wall is just going to sit there and teeter. But once you build it into a corner, it becomes something that will last, something stable. Anybody remember that? Can you believe that was 3 years ago? And who doesn't love playing with Duplos anyway? They're just so cool, the way they stick together. And I've got a bucket of them that we've saved through the years, and we played with them with our daughters, and now we play with them with our grandsons. So a whole laundry tub full of Duplos. But in a structure like this, where a wall is put together, the stone that is the most important is the cornerstone. That foundation. And you know, you can look at most large buildings in a city, especially in a downtown area, and you can often find a signature cornerstone. Somebody has told me that it's always on a certain corner of the building, northeast, is that it? And I didn't really know that the last time I preached this text. But it's I don't know why it needs to face a particular direction, but that's not the focus of this understanding. The understanding is the stability of a corner. And that's why it is such a profound thing that Jesus is called the cornerstone. And we build our lives on our confidence in Him and on our faith in Him, then we will build on a solid foundation. This text in 1 Peter also tells us that you are chosen by God. You are God's people, claimed by God and made holy. But that we are called to be holy for a reason. In fact, for a purpose. And that purpose is of sharing God's love and hope with others. I'm sure that you have ways of doing that. We can point the way to others. We can point the way to Christ, the cornerstone. I hope we can be bold about doing that. But sometimes I think we shy away from it for some reason. And that gives us a shyness that kind of keeps the gospel good news inside us instead of letting us radiate it out to share it with others. It's important. It's an important job. But sometimes it's hard to get into the relationship and the right way to share our faith. Here's a story about four people with kind of strange names. Their names were everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Now, they weren't your normal people. They're probably not all of them anyway, were people that you would even enjoy being friends with because they're a little bit elusive. But as soon as these four got together, they realized that there was an important job to be done. And everybody thought somebody should do it. Somebody thought everybody wanted it done. Anybody could have done it. But the one who did it, you can guess, nobody. Nobody did it. Nobody was probably one of the most faithful ones. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job and everybody should have done it. It's about doing your part. Everybody was upset because somebody complained. Have you heard that in the church before? When you are not here, your part goes unplayed. It's like a symphony orchestra. You're missed when you're not here. When you don't do the things that you feel called and empowered to do during the week, something goes undone. You are made holy. That's what it means to be sanctified. You know, John Wesley's theology, justified and sanctified. We all focus on the justified part. We want to make sure we're right with God. And we want it to be okay for us. Justification, okay? Made right with God. But there's more than that. There is after that sanctification, which means being made holy, to walk in holy steps and holy footsteps with the Lord and with one another as we seek to share the community of faith. I know we as a church reach out to people in many ways. And some of you as individuals do as well. But you can't count on just other people to do it, or you can't count on it being a church-wide evangelistic effort or the pastor to do it. You do your part because you have a unique circle of friends and acquaintances. You have a unique perspective. You know people that I don't know, and each of you know people that people sitting next to you don't know. Okay, there's the deal. So we all have our place of ministry. We all are called to do our part. You have gifts you may not have discovered yet. And you are made holy, sanctified by God in order to be a blessing to others. You are set aside for ministry. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you're always going to want to do that. These 12 disciples didn't want to do it either. In fact, when Jesus was gone from them, they gathered in a room and locked and shut the door, barred the door. They wanted it to be safe. And they forgot their mission. We're called to take risks, to step outside the comfort zone, to understand that that's what it means to be chosen. We're not chosen for privilege. We're chosen for work. Now, you may sometimes feel like a nobody. Everybody does once in a while. But in the eyes of God, you are somebody. Somebody with a purpose. I encourage you to ask God and keep asking till you get an answer. What is God wanting you to become? What's God wanting you to be doing? This 1 Peter text is about the living stone. It says, now you are coming to Him, that is Christ, as to a living stone. We are called to come into Christ's presence and to look to Him as a living stone. You've known somebody named Livingston before. Probably I knew a man whose first name was Livingston. And I just always admired that name. I thought, that is a rich name. Because each of us have the responsibility to be a living stone. To be the ones who point the way to Christ, the cornerstone. That's how we make a difference in the world. You've seen places where stones are piled up to mark some spot, a grave maybe, or a place where somebody had a new revelation or a new beginning. Or maybe it's just the corners of a piece of property where some stones are piled up to mark the spot where somebody cut a deal. In the Old Testament, there's this wonderful story about the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River. Now, that's different than the crossing of the Red Sea. They're different. Look it up. But those priests, when the children of Israel were about to cross the water, stepped into the water and stepped on the stones that were there. And when they did, the waters began to subside and the people were able to cross safely. You know the song from youth days or children's ministry days, Jesus is the rock and He rolls my blues away. Well, we call Jesus the cornerstone, the one who is the rock on which others are not only laid with confidence and laid in secure masonry, but the corner which points the direction and outlines the dimensions of the building. Jesus, the cornerstone. What does it mean to be God's people? It means to be nobody, to really not know who we are, and then in Christ to find our true identity and become the somebody that God creates us to be. The somebody with the something to do that makes a difference in the world and that leads others to find Christ. We all have the challenges of raising children. Yeah, we do continue to advise them and raise them some, but we also are raising our grandchildren. And I'm going to get a chance to do a little of that this afternoon, I hope, as they come home for Mother's Day. But it has its blessings, but it also has its challenges. So we are called to be the rock for others, but we can't do that unless we have built our foundation on the rock, like Peter in his confession. You are Christ, the Son of the living God, built on the rock of Christ. I encourage you to build on the cornerstone. The word cornerstone has lots of uses. It is often used in naming a business, cornerstone brick and mortar, or cornerstone real estate, or cornerstone drugstore. If you just Google cornerstone, you see thousands of logos, different interpretations of what the word cornerstone means, and words that go with it that describe every business from making bicycles to caskets. We have a word here that is very diverse. The word cornerstone, well, first of all, it's really two words. It brings into intersection two different words and makes it a third thing that is vital and important in the structure of a building. It's a very good analogy for how we should ally ourselves with Christ for our ministry in the world. Christ depends on you to do ministry. And you depend on Christ to be able to do ministry. So there is an intersection right there, a cornerstone. That cornerstone is what makes us somebody who can make a difference. It's because of God's grace. It's because of a mother's love that nurtured you and taught you and held you and humored you when you were upset. Not all mothers are able to show this love and grace in the same ways, anyhow. But all of us are in the process of being made into what God calls us to be and become. Big difference in being and becoming. Being is done. You are what you are. But you become what you become. It puts being in the future tense. So the phrase from our text today, nobody, then somebody, reflects a process of becoming. When we feel called to be something more than what we are, and we need to look to Christ to give us the strength to do that. I think it's a great idea to meet at the corner. So whenever we meet, this morning included, I'd like to say, let's meet at the corner. Because Christ is the corner where lives intersect and where motives intersect and where structure becomes structurally strong. It's a place of foundation set in the stone, maybe even concrete. Christ can become a stumbling stone if we can't get to Him. Some people use Christ as a stepping stone to advance themselves. Some people use Christ as a cornerstone to point the way. I say, let's make Christ the foundation stone of our lives and our living. Our mothers give us birth, but it's God who gives us life. And I invite you to build yours on the solid rock of Christ. You are chosen, not for privilege, but for cause, to proclaim the mighty acts of God who has called us out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. Everybody is somebody special with a cause and a purpose. I pray you are finding yours.